Gracefully aging is a mercy afforded to few of us, but in the third season of The Crown, Queen Elizabeth transforms seamlessly from Claire Foy into actor of the moment Olivia Colman. And that's not the only change at hand. The 60s are swinging, the Tories are out of power, Britain is in need of a bailout. The new series of The Crown is available on Netflix from Sunday, but Adele Coffey and couturier Peter O'Brien have been enjoying previews of the new season, 10 episodes in all. Adele, the last series ended with the Profumo affair. We start in 1962, just a little bit after that, with season 3.
Yes, and as you mentioned, much change. Harold Wilson is the first Labour Prime Minister that Britain has seen in 13 years, and it's a really sort of brave new world. There's modern politics, new social ideas, there's race riots, there's workers' strikes. We're coming into that kind of new era, and the Queen is dealing with all of this, and essentially Britain's been rejected. Their application to join the EEC has essentially been rejected. And this kind of gives us an early nod to what are a lot of very enjoyable and satisfying sort of double-edged comments on both history and the state of modern affairs in Britain today, which is all part of the enjoyment of The Crown, I think.
Yeah, I think that's part of the... It was there in both seasons 1 and 2, Peter. Peter O'Brien here. I should say Adele's with in our Galway studio this evening. Peter's with me here in Dublin. It's part of the joy of seasons 1 and 2. It's the way they can manage to mix history. And if you like, when we get to the 60s, we're really into modern history, almost contemporary politics in lots of ways. It's the way they can mix. And some of these events, depending on your age, become a little bit more familiar as it gets into the 60s, the stories that have been told. It's the mix of that with essentially Downton Abbey brought up to date, I suppose, brought into the 20th century.
Yeah, you kind of ask.
Or the late 20th century.
I feel, as an Irishman, I kind of have to declare that I think monarchy's slightly ridiculous at best. You have to say that before you say anything about this programme, otherwise, you know, you're accused of being a traitor. Is it soap? Is it docudrama? I don't know. But it's so well done. That some of the exposition's a bit clunky. You know, there's always some, you know, very learned person sitting next to someone at dinner, you know, saying what's happening. But apart from that, I think it's fantastic. And I was very, very, I thought Claire Foy was fantastic.
Yeah.
She had that kind of patrician face, which was like a Japanese painting and showed absolutely nothing, totally enigmatic, but was yet incredibly articulate. Olivia Colman is really quite different, but after 10 minutes, I'd kind of forgotten Claire Foy.
The very clever, actually, the very opening scene of the series is Olivia Colman as Queen Elizabeth II standing in front of two stamps.
Yeah. It's
which
brilliant.
Is the younger Queen Elizabeth and the, well, you'll hear what the aide, how he tries to kind of cover up the fact that the Queen has perhaps aged like the rest of us, because she is immortal too. And she's looking at essentially Claire Foy's face and Olivia Colman looking at her own face.
Yes.
And the comparisons have been made. And it's a really great way to have that character transformation played out, really, for the audience. Here's the clip.
Everyone at the post office is delighted with the new profile, ma'am, which they feel to be an elegant reflection of Her Majesty's transition from young woman to
old bet.
A mother of four and settled sovereign. The Postmaster General himself commented that the two images, the young and the slightly older Queen, are almost identical.
Postmaster Bevins is very kind. He's also a barefaced liar.
Just the tiniest changes in the hair.
A great many changes. But there we are. Age is rarely kind to anyone. Nothing one can do about it. One just has to get on with it.
That's Olivia Colman there as Queen Elizabeth II, who age has been kind to, has now well into her 90s, it has
to
be said.
Astonishing.
Not Claire, not Olivia Colman, but Queen Elizabeth II. It is a big ask, Adele, isn't it? You know, this, that you switch from one character, because we were, certainly I watched the first two seasons and very invested in the Claire Foy presentation.
And
suddenly
I found
you have to change your mind.
The transition a little bit more jarring, I have to say. I did feel that Colman almost changes the character that we've become used to that Foy was playing, because Foy played her very, very strong, very clever, very intelligent. And Colman brings a kind of girlishness and silliness almost to the character that I hadn't been used to seeing, and I felt that was a little bit uncomfortable for me, and a little bit, it didn't sit right. But as Peter says, after a few, it took me, you know, the first episode to bed in. I have to say, though, Tobias Menzies as Prince Philip runs away with the
he
whole season.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Like, yeah. What the characters, I found myself wondering through the whole thing, particularly watching him as Prince Philip, thinking, wow, this is the kind of man I want to hang out with. He's the kind of man, you know, he's a brilliant leading man.
Are you changing your words? I'm looking at the notes you sent. This is the kind of man, I think I can quote from your notes.
Now, I one would like to marry, perhaps,
if one were royal.
Married already.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, it's so different to the kind of Philip that we're used to reading. And that kind of makes me think, is this propaganda? You know?
Yeah.
And Peter Morgan, the writer, is very clear about the fact that he says this is fiction, but there's always a true story underneath it.
And there are lots of cast changes here, obviously, because the characters are all older, and the big one is
Margaret,
played by Helena Bonham Carter. You loved her, I think, in this. Were you taken by her, Peter?
Well, the one thing I like is Helena Bonham Carter is actually posh. So you don't hear the kind of...
Yeah, she knew Margaret, apparently. She'd met her a few times.
And she sounds posh. Mm. Sometimes with Olivia, it's almost like you can hear the kind of... The wheels crank, the
acting whirring.
Yeah, the accent is almost too much, you know. I think Helena Bonham Carter is probably too beautiful. But she's good. She's good, but I found it hard. I thought the other girl was so wonderful in the first two series.
Mm. Her name's gone out of my head.
Vanessa,
yes.
Something, can't remember.
Kirby, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
Listen, she's kind of good and blousy and funny and...
Yeah, I suppose that Lady Margaret or Princess Margaret and the Queen, the first fiddle, second fiddle story between them was there in season two, and it's developed a bit further in season three.
Yeah, and we have an episode called Margaretology, which is what the Americans dubbed the Margaret craze when she went on a tour of America. And yeah, that was a really compelling episode, actually, to look at that relationship and how Margaret actually had no purpose in life, or felt she had no purpose because she was, you know, suppressed. She couldn't express her wild sort of personality that came naturally to her, and she had to behave herself. And also, she wasn't given any diplomatic duties because she was likely to embarrass the crown.
Yeah, well, let's listen to a clip where she's on a plane, in fact, heading off in what turns out to be quite a diplomatic role that she has to play for later into the episode. Princess Margaret, Helena Bonham Carter here, and her husband Lord Snowden, played by Ben Daniels in this slightly older version from the second season, and here they are talking about the nature of the relationship between monarch and sister of monarch.
She and I are complicated.
It's true. Elder sister, younger sister, number one and number two.
Who's number one?
You, of course. A natural number one whose tragedy it is to have been born number two.
That is my burden.
She knows it too.
Yes, I think she does.
Helena Bonham Carter and Ben Daniels there as Princess Margaret and Lord Snowden, respectively, in season three of The Crown. Peter O'Brien and Edel Coffey speaking to me about it this evening. We're into the 1960s. I don't know how far behind royal fashion usually is in terms of what they were. But I suppose Princess Margaret would have been right up there and on point or on song or on message with the fashion, Peter.
Those middle 60s clothes that grown-up women wear were so horribly unflattering. They were kind of rectangular, and everybody, whether they were 21 or 71, looked the same age. They're kind of lumpy and lumpen.
I think they work. Jackets were so unflattering.
They work really, really well on Olivia Colman. I thought Margaret's costumes were a bit odd, and she's walking down a hotel hallway, and she seems to be wearing a pair of burgundy satin Manolo Blahnik shoes. I swear they are. They're too high.
A little bit too ahead of time, are they?
They're absolutely the wrong shape. The heels are too skinny, and they're too high, and the buckles are too big. But yeah,
and there were some phrases I thought as well that were kind of out of place. There was a Welsh teacher who said to one of his pupils, "Don't peak too soon." And I thought, that feels a little bit modern. I know obviously those words existed, but as a phrase, it felt very modern. And there's a few other phrases like that throughout.
Okay, well, I mean, the way this works, I think, have you seen all 10 episodes, Adele?
I'm afraid I have.
How many binges was that?
That was actually, I was very restrained. It was over the course of about 5 nights.
All right,
say,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, you had them a little bit ahead of time. Peter got them a little
yesterday.
You got your access. Yesterday, Peter,
I got them. Yesterday.
Wow, and you've watched 5.5 episodes.
I'm up to Prince Charles's investiture in
Wales.
Well,
that's a great episode.
Yes,
that's a very good recommendation that you have got through 5.5 in a day.
In a day.
Yeah, my the person I love most in the whole thing is Jane Lapaterre as Princess Alice. I just think she's wonderful.
And that's an extraordinary episode, actually.
Yeah,
I was not aware that Prince Philip had this mother who was a nun in Greece and was kind of taken out of there during the military coup.
But does everybody come out of this all too nicely? You know, are they all actually, even though we might want to cock our Republican, and that's with a small R, noses up at the monarchy.
So. I mean, even
are they all perfect?
Charles comes across as this sort of romantic, deep feeling, passionate fellow that
played by Josh O'Connor.
Yes, and played excellent. He's got
Brilliant.
The accent, he's got the body poses, you know, even
the
just
ears.
How he stands. No. But you know, there is that kind of thing where everybody is just really likable and really cool and really intelligent, and they're all just like suffering under this public servant burden.
although they're not very intelligent around art. Let's have a clip. I think this is from the first episode as well. Mm. And it's we hear Menzies at his best here. What are we looking at here? He's asking the aide, basically.
Who's that by?
Annibale Carracci.
Never heard of him. This one?
Artemisia Gentileschi.
Never heard of him either.
Sir.
I'm afraid we're not great connoisseurs of art in this family.
Well, we're country people, really. Savages.
I wouldn't say that.
But I just did say that. You disagreeing with me?
I've always said both the Queen and Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, have a very good eye.
What? Between them?
One each.
They're not afraid to laugh at themselves there, really.
I know, and they're kind of adorable, aren't they,
together? Yeah, isn't that the thing? It's all nice and cosy. But there are, I mean, it does deal with some dark sides of
British,
and particularly, I suppose, the tragic side as well in the coal mining disaster in Wales.
I mean, that should come with a warning for viewers. It's episode 3. It deals with the Aberfan disaster in Wales.
In the 1960s,
Where a slag heap on a coal mine collapsed, caused a landmine, buried 116 children alive in their school. 28 adults died. There's a funeral where 81 children are buried at the same time on the same day in the small town Aberfan.
It's devastating.
It's really devastating.
It's brilliantly done, I think.
Brilliantly done.
I think it's unforgivable that they allowed the Queen to cry at the end, though. I was furious.
But did she cry, Peter?
I was furious.
She was putting on a show, when she
sat listening to the music. At the very end.
Yeah. Okay, but there is one thing, and I know you've picked up on this, Adele. There's very little mention of the Northern Irish Troubles. Now, I know we'll get into the mid-70s with this, and I suppose, well, Bloody Sunday was 1972, and Mountbatten, the death of Mountbatten is later into the 70s, but you felt there should have been some acknowledgement of that part of history.
It was ridiculous, I thought, that they didn't mention it. You know, I was thinking, oh, maybe this is me being more aware of it because I'm Irish. But no, like, I was reading an interview with Peter Morgan in the New York Times, and they mentioned the Troubles as one of, like, four major historical things that was happening in Britain at that time. And it does feel slightly conspicuous by its absence. Yeah. The fact that it's not even mentioned in a newspaper headline or a news story, it seems.
And surely the
childish.
Prime Ministers of the day, because it's all
Absolutely.
Based around the idea that it's the audiences with the Queen,
yes,
the Prime
of
Ministers
course.
Of
Indeed.
The day. Surely that would have come up in conversation at some of their meetings.
It's completely conspicuous by its absence, in my opinion, to the extent that it's kind of curious.
You've watched all 10, but you'd be telling people, get down and do it the minute it appears on your Netflix. Ration it out over a few nights, Adele.
Oh, definitely, especially as these nights close in, Sean. Like, it is absolutely beautiful Sunday night viewing by the fire, family saga. You've got husbands and wives, mothers and sons, everybody fighting, everybody
all
having
right.
affairs. It's all great.
And Peter?
Yeah,
straight back to the next 4.5.
Yeah,
when you get home.
I'm going to go home and watch it. The acting is terrific and the writing's really good.
All right. Well, I think most people want to see The Crown Season 3. Peter O'Brien and Adele Coffey speaking to us about that this evening. It's available on Netflix from this Sunday, I do believe. Yes, it is this Sunday.